Go ahead and open to Genesis 1, if you would. We're going to read a little bit there. Unlike the talented young gentleman who got up here, I have not memorized the entire first chapter of Genesis. It's a great one. It's beautiful. And when you read it, I don't see how anyone cannot just be moved emotionally even by what they read here as they read about God and the beauty of the creation that He has put together and spoken to existence for our blessing and our benefit. But in this series of can we believe in creation is an important one. Can we believe in the biblical account of creation? And you already know this, many do not. You already know that. And you already know, living in the world that we live in today, that in a lot of places, and not here this morning, but in a lot of places, you would be laughed at for believing in the biblical account of creation. And yet, it's so. And we're going to talk about that for just a few minutes this morning. In the beginning, what a great way to start, right? In the beginning. Isn't that beautiful? Those few words. And if somebody says to you, in the beginning, I expect that your mind jumps directly to Genesis 1. And everybody agrees, who agrees that we're here and that this is real, everybody agrees that in the beginning is how it started. The difference is not those first three words, but that fourth word. That fourth word after the comma in Genesis 1 is where the problem's created. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. Not in the beginning, any of the other ways that maybe you've heard about or we've talked about. And we'll look at a couple of those this morning in brief and talk a little bit about some of the tension that's been created in our world by this very simple and straightforward passage. And when we read the book of Genesis and all the things that God created, we look around us and see the beauty of things. Have you ever seen one of those? Aren't they beautiful? And sometimes in the year when there's enough rain, which there's not right now, you see some beautiful flowers, don't you? And have you ever been to a beautiful place? Maybe you just enjoyed some time and relaxed and really we're able to see some beautiful sunsets. That's a wonderful thing to be able to enjoy. Or in a beautiful garden and being able to enjoy those times. When you see the world around us, doesn't it make you just almost stand in amazement and wonder at all that God's done? And the variety that He has created for us. He's done so many different things. Oceans. If you don't like those, you can go to the mountains. If you don't like those, you can go to the desert. And yes, even the desert is beautiful. In places, I've been to some spectacular places in the slot canyons of New Mexico. Absolutely gorgeous. White sands, beautiful place to go sometime. It feels like a desert around here right now, but we enjoy the variety that we have in all of our weather and all the things that God does for us in our world. The beautiful way that things work together. It's just fantastic to enjoy. God's handiwork is what Genesis 1 is really about. He created light and He created water. These are things we need to be able to live. And plant life, things that we can eat and that the animals and creatures can enjoy. Day and night, He created seasons as well so that we get to be able to enjoy different things in different times of the year. Sun and moon and the stars. Don't you enjoy going out at night on a clear night and just looking up at the heavens and just appreciating how expansive and vast it is? It's huge. And to think about all those places and all those things and all those stars, it's just so wonderful. All the living creatures, think about everything that we see around here. Birds and beasts and livestock. Things that we get to hunt for food, for trophies sometimes. And things that we get to enjoy. We get to be able to keep animals and then enjoy those animals and eat them. And have friends over. Give beef away. Keep doing that, please, if you would. My freezer's full of things people have given me, and I really appreciate that. Don't we have a lot to be thankful for? God has blessed us in so many ways. And finally, He created us in His image, us to be like Him, to have an eternal spirit that goes on forever. Isn't that a beautiful thing that God's done for us? And God saw fit to make us the pinnacle of His creation. He's put us in a spot where we have great opportunity and also great responsibility over the creation that He's made for us. And we get to enjoy that. It's a beautiful thing. And everybody, it seems like, ought to be able to enjoy that. But that fourth word gets in the way. That God created all these things. And as man began to ascend and grow and learn, we started looking around us and realizing all the things that God had made for us. And we were able to enjoy so many wonderful things, and yet attention began to be created. Because God, the God of the universe who made all these things and who spoke this world that we live in into existence, you know, this should be great news for all people that He's done these things for us. But a God that's that powerful and incredible and wonderful and strong also created and creates today a wrong kind of fear in some people. They fear God and they fear His power and they fear His might. And what does it mean for me if I agree with God's story of creation? What does that mean for me? Where does it put me in my relationship to God? Am I still the pinnacle? Do I get to be in charge of all things? Do I get to be in control? You see, man loves the creation, and we love God's creation, but we need an explanation that allows us to feel some sort of control over the world that we live in. We want to believe that us being here and doing the thing we're doing is going to make an enormous difference, that somehow we're the important part here. And we are, and God has made us that. But we struggle with the idea that how did it all come to be? And I'd like to find an explanation that allows me to not have to sometimes submit to an all-powerful, benevolent God. I don't want to submit to Him. I want to be my own person. You see, man has been tempted from the beginning to trust ourselves and to turn to other gods, to make gods that we can then worship and honor. Go over to Romans 1. For a long time, this has been happening in our world. And the tension was set up early on. Starting in verse 18, we know back in 16, we hear that Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God. And God's marvelous power has been shown and demonstrated in our world. Starting in verse 18, he says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and His divine nature, have been clearly seen ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. See, people have always done this because if I can create a God that I make, then what can I do? Well, I can also make the rules. I can set the order. I become the one who's in control of all things then. I'm even in control of my God. I'm even in control of Him. And the God who made heaven and earth, who speaks things into existence, He doesn't allow that kind of control from us. We don't control Him. He's the one who's in charge. And let me tell you, there's people who just think that's too much to bear. And they seek for a way, an answer, some means by which they could explain everything being here that doesn't involve this all-powerful God speaking them into existence. And I ask a simple question. Why? Why do you need another way? Why, amidst all the beauty and all the wonderful things, all the order that He set up and all the ways that things work so beautifully, the design that He's created, why do we need another way? We don't. We need to be able to understand and love God and see His creation, but we are a show-me people. Don't take any offense. I know we're in Missouri. But we're that way, aren't we? If you can't show it to me, I'm not going to believe it. If you can't make it happen in front of my eyes, I'm not going to believe that that really happened. And you know, in our faith sometimes, we struggle with that, don't we? And sometimes we've argued with people, or sometimes we've gone to a school and we've argued. I went to a state college. I promise you there were some arguments there with people who taught me. And I said, the biblical creation story is real. I believe it. And they say, show me that. Make it happen. Can you do it? The reality is we struggle sometimes to then say things back to them like, well, I don't care what you believe. I know what I believe. But hasn't God made it clear? Hasn't he demonstrated in the world that not only did he make it, but he's also in control of it today? Well, what are the other choices if we don't believe in God? What kind of things do people believe in? Well, some people will just say, well, it just all happened. And they'll say things like, I don't know how, and I can't explain it, but it just all happened. It just all came together, and there was a big explosion, and then it all just, it was there. It just happened. It was just like, poof, and then it was there. Does that jive with you? Does that fit? I've never been able to believe that, you know, because I don't see that happening in the world every day. I don't see just random things happening that there's no explanation for. I see a world full of order. I wake up and the sun is there instead of the moon. What about you? And, you know, I wake up and I look around me and, you know what? Things are still working the way they did yesterday. There's an order. There's a design. I don't look at that and see just randomness everywhere. I see things happening that make sense. Most of the chaotic things that have happened in my life haven't been things that naturally occurred. They've been things that somebody made to happen. God shows us order in our world. Living creatures chose genetic and positive mutation. This would be evolution. And that these creatures over time choose these selective ways to grow and genetically pursue an end to change so that they reflect the world that they're a part of. I mean, I just struggle with this, I'm going to tell you. Not adaptation. I understand things adapting, and that makes sense to me. But for one species to become another species, I've never witnessed it, you know? When Latina went in, you know, to have the babies, I didn't wonder if it was going to be a cat or a dog. You know, I really didn't. I thought he might be bad, and that's genetically predisposed. But I knew that it would be a child. I knew that a child was going to come out of there. I just knew that's what was going to happen, right? And when you go home, and you know, and when your kitten is expecting a litter, what's it expecting a litter of? Guess what? Kittens. That's biogenesis. That is each thing creating their own, and that's what we see over time. But science, some science would say today, we don't accept that. There have been large gaps of time, and over those large gaps of time, things that were one thing became another thing. Really? I struggle with that. What about you? I have a hard time believing that. What else is out there? Well, you could believe in aliens, and that they placed us here. Now, I know you're stifling your laughter, but listen to me for a second. There was a guy named Francis Crick. This guy's a genius. Matter of fact, we're very proud of Francis Crick because he's the man who discovered the RNA DNA molecule. You know that big double helix, that complicated strand that you've seen probably when you were in school? The reality is he discovered that, and he believed in evolution. Well, he had a problem. He went and did the mathematical formula on it, and he found out that there is 0.0% chance that that could have ever happened given 6 billion years of Earth. That's what he calculated. And so he came up with another answer. Panspermia. Aliens obviously placed us here, right? That's the next obvious answer. It's not a designer and that we're the ones who were designed. It's that aliens did this. Not a crazy answer, but the reality is people are longing for an answer that doesn't involve God. And then there's a lot of myths. Every culture has its creation myth. The Babylonian one lived for a long time. And it was that these two giants fought each other, Marduk and Tiamat. And as they fought each other, one of them killed the other and his body became the world. I know, you think, Joe, why even say that? That's crazy. Nobody believes that. But the reality is some people look at us and say, when you open Genesis 1, it's just another version of the Babylonian myth. You just are creating your own little myth so that you can believe what you want to believe, and it makes your God right. Let me tell you something, people. My God is bigger than all that. And my God has given me something to believe in because he's demonstrated to me over and over and over again in my world that he is the master of all things. And that his way is best, regardless of what the world comes up with. Some in our world, though, do not find belief in God or his creation story attractive. So why would anyone wish to reject biblical creation? That's a valid question. A couple of years ago, I watched a movie. Maybe you saw it, too. It's called Expelled, put together by a guy named Ben Stein, who you've heard of, win Ben Stein's money, that kind of stuff. I'm not here to advertise this movie, but I do want to tell you that some things that were good in it. Ben Stein opened my eyes to something, and one of the things he showed is that we are losing our freedom in one of the most important sectors of society, in science. I've always assumed that scientists were free to ask any question, to pursue any line of inquiry without fear of reprisal, but recently I've been alarmed to discover this is not the case. And what he showed in this movie was that many people at higher levels of education have lost their grants and their fellowships and their jobs because they were people who held a biblical view of creation. Isn't that a shame? Isn't that sad that somebody in science would not allow somebody to pursue a study of an ends that demonstrated that God created the world? And yet it's true, folks. Let me just tell you. Now, at one point in the movie, he talks to this guy. This guy's name is Richard Dawkins. Don't look around. He's not here this morning. Richard Dawkins does not go to church. He believes in evolution, and he is a vehement atheist. He believes in it to the point that he wants to create other followers or converts to atheism. He's written books like The God Delusion and The Blind Watchmaker and A Devil's Chaplain. Doesn't sound like books his mama would be proud of. But anyway, this man has been on a case to prove how ridiculous anybody is who believes in God. And so one of the things that Ben Stein wanted to know is, since you know God didn't do it, why don't you tell me how it did happen? Why don't you give me an explanation? Well, this was the discussion that happened between the two of them. Richard Dawkins says, "We know the sort of event that must have happened for the origin of life." Ben Stein, "And what was that?" Dawkins, "It was the origin of the first self-replicating molecule." Stein, "Right, and how did that happen?" Dawkins, "Well, I've told you we don't know." Stein, "So you have no idea how it started?" Dawkins, no, nor has anyone. You see, there's no answer. There is no answer to the question. We don't know, nobody knows, there is no idea. I just know how it didn't happen. God didn't do it. Now tell me, how ridiculous is that? To just say, I don't know what the answer is, but I know what the answer is not. How can you do that? Go into a court of law and do that. Let me tell you, they'll run you out of there. If you're going to say how it didn't happen, you have to tell how it did happen. And yet this is not what we're faced with in our world. What we see is no proof, only disproof. Only disproof. It didn't happen the way that you said. Why not? Well, because I reasoned it out and I'm smart. Oh, okay. Alistair McGrath, who does a lot of apologetics writing, wrote the following thing. Dawkins seems to think that scientific description is an anti-religious argument. Describing how something happened scientifically somehow explains it away. But it doesn't. Here's the reality, folks. Science does not disprove God's creation. It does not. If anything, it demonstrates His design. And when we see the complicated nature of the world that we live in, it doesn't say to us, there is no good answer for this. It leads us back to understanding that behind the design is a designer. Nicholas, my son, has had brain surgery. He's had two. Guess what they expected to find when they went in there? A brain. And guess how they expected that brain to be formed? Like all the other brains that they work on. Did you know that? When a doctor sees you, he already knows what organs you have on the inside. How? Has he done exploratory surgery? No. He knows how the human body is made. It's made in a replicable way. It's made the same way over and over and over again. Random chance? Do you feel like you're a product of random chance? I got to be honest, I don't. I feel like there's a design behind me. And the reality is that in our world today, we need to be the people who believe in God and His creation. And we need to shout it from the rooftops. Not only is there a creation, but there's a creator. Not only is there a design, but there's a designer. And God made us to be who we are, and He made us in a beautiful way to demonstrate to the world that He exists. There's more to us than just what you can see, though. We also have a beautiful eternal part that He made us with. Genesis 1 is not written to be a scientific description of how God made the world. So I'm tired of people laughing at and making fun of Genesis 1. Genesis 1 is God explaining to His children so that they can understand it. Isaiah 55 says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. God is higher than we are. Have you ever taken a little child into a room and turned the light switch on and they said, hey, how did you make that happen? You say, well, you hit the light switch. And they say, yeah, but how does it make the light come on? And you say, well, we open and close the circuit with the light switch. Yeah, but what is electricity? And you say something like, go ask Steve Strijic. Or, you know, talk to somebody that does electrical work. I don't know. I can't explain it. But even an electrician can't really explain all the details of how electricity works. There's things that are inexplicable to us, right? There's things that we have a hard time explaining. Just like a parent trying to explain something difficult to a child, God has taken this book and has explained to us things that are beyond our understanding. And He's laid it out in a way that is simple enough that even the simplest of us can understand. Our hard part is the acceptance of what He said. He did make the world and everything in it. He did make me and He did create me and He is in power and control over everything. And He is sovereign. And I am not in control. And that's the hard part that we have a difficult time accepting. And many people in our world struggle with that. The complexity of our world screams out design. Go over to Job 38. Just a couple of verses. We're almost done here. Verse 4 of Job 38, beginning. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you understand. Who determined its measurement? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? And on or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Job is one of the oldest books, they say, in the Bible. And that being the case, there were a lot of things that people didn't understand at that time. But when God speaks to Job, He talks about measuring the world. Is the world measurable? Yes, it is. Are there lines that we've laid out on it? Yes, there are. We make sense of the world this way now. He goes on, and if you read through these two chapters, there's so much rich material in here. Let me just hit on a couple. Look at verse 16. Have you entered into the springs of the sea or walked in the recesses of the deep? Man didn't know how deep the ocean was when this was written. Man hadn't been able to explore to see the bottom of the ocean. He didn't know that there were springs where water comes forth. To this day, we don't really understand where that water is coming from. It's coming out of these springs in the bottom of the sea. Only in the past 20 years or so have we been able to dive deep enough to be able to see that those things exist. And yet God has known about those things because He put them there. God is taking care of this world that we live in. And yet there's people today that want to say the world is so fragile that the next little thing that we do is somehow going to make this enormous difference and we're going to destroy it all. Hey, come on. Look at God. Do you think He can't hold His creation in balance? Do you think that God can't make a thing and then see about it? Because let me tell you, I've witnessed that in my own life. What about you? What about you? So the design screams out a designer. My design shows His power. Psalm 139 talks about that. He says, I was knit together in my mother's womb. God did that. He knit us together. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Isn't that true? Isn't that just so true? His eyes see our unformed substance, it says in Psalm 139. And in your book were written the days formed for me. God not only designs us on the outside, but He designs us on the inside. He gives us a purpose. He gives us a meaning in life. He puts us here for a reason. You see, not only does my design scream a designer, but my purpose for living and my reason for being here demonstrates the wonder and amazement that is a God who sees me for more than sometimes I see myself as. And He's got purposes for me that are greater than sometimes I'm able to even fathom. And yet God has done that for us. He's created us in a beautiful and wonderful way. I always love the watchmaker story, you know. If you're walking along a trail one day and you look down and you see a watch, how many of us have ever thought, all the elements fell together to make a watch? Have you ever thought that? Lightning struck a rock and a watch popped out. Have you ever thought that? I've never thought that. I thought somebody dropped a watch, right? Isn't that logical? Flip it over. It says Timex. I look for the owner. If it says Rolex, I just slip it in my pocket. No. I realized somebody lost that. That came from somewhere, right? There was somebody who designed that and made that. Those parts didn't just fall together. In the same way, let me tell you, the world that we wake up in every day, people, is a lot more complicated than a wristwatch. And it didn't just happen. It was created for us. And it was created by one who loves us and cares for us. And the assurity that I want you to leave here this morning knowing is that the Creator who made all things made you, and He loves you. And He wants your life to be lived in service to Him because He realizes the purpose for which you were made, and He knows it. And the purpose is to serve and live in a relationship with Him. There is no higher calling, and there is no better purpose, and there is no greater thing. Did God make this world? Can we believe in the creation, this biblical creation story in Genesis 1? Yes. Confidently, yes, we can, people. And we need to shout from the mountaintop and the rooftop and every other top we can find that we believe in creation and we believe in God's story of it. And it doesn't make us stupid and it doesn't make us intellectually tiny to believe that. It makes us a believer in the Almighty God. And let me tell you, He's the one to lead us from this life into the next. And if you're not in a relationship with Him this morning, you're not ready to make that journey. If you are and you know Him and you love Him and you want to be more of what He calls you to be, then you can come forward and we'll pray with you, strengthen you. He created the world, but He also created the church, and the church is here to be His people. We're not the ones who decide how it works. He is, and He's the one who laid it out, and He's the master and sovereign over this church. And if you're here today, we're here to help you. And if you want to be baptized into Christ, we can do that. There's water, which He also made for us. If you have any need today, please come while we stand together and sing.